चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च दितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरद्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामी हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्या गदाधार शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे नमो हरे राम 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 हरे
हरे कृष्णा सो वेरी हैप्पी टू बी इन दिस वेरी वेरी लाइवली and a very wonderful festival. I remember the first Prerana festival which ever happened. It's a super, super wonderful program, and it is so wonderful that something is going on for the last maybe a decade plus, more than a decade, something is going on and so many people are getting benefited from this beautiful Prerana festival. So we saw this very beautiful drama, and how many of you could really identify yourself with this drama? You all are looking for jyotis and prernas and chetnas. And at the most what you get in hostels and colleges is one or two of them. But you get everything here. And the best of ladies is Srimati Radharani, standing right in front of you, who is your mother. So we get everything here. So it's an interesting topic today, striking the balance in life. And anybody trying to find a balance, it is very difficult. Right? You know, when we were all young, we would try to balance a stick in our finger. I mean, we would time it, the longer it is. But how difficult, even a simple stick, to balance. And why is it, you think? Why is it so difficult to balance? Anybody? Why do you think it is difficult to balance anything in this life? Yes? Yes, sir? Because of the mind, yeah. It's all in the mind, as our friend has shared. But primarily, the whole energy, the whole focus in this material world is to make people off balance. The whole energy is what you call gravity, which pulls people down and does not allow us to really find a balance. Because what when you're talking about balance is that the tendency to stay upright and not fall. In simple words, we can all think of the tightrope walk. You've seen, maybe you've seen in your own streets, some small girl just walking, you know, with a stick on her hand. Or you have heard of people crossing the Niagara Falls or crossing the mighty Amazon River in the Brazil on a tightrope walk. And how do they do that? It's so difficult because one slip and you are down. So they balance. And what are they balancing from? They're balancing so that they do not fall. They're working against gravity. Because gravity is so powerful. It's it's all pervasive energy which is sapping everything down. So balancing is a very, 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 very all pervasive topic and rarely found commodity. Because the fact is, if I want to balance this phone on my finger, I tried one place, it falls. Try one place, falls. There's only one point in this phone where it will be balanced on my finger. There are not two points. Right? At this point it balances. Right? But I just, moment I shift little, it falls. So even a point next to the balancing point, it doesn't work. So we all have to try to find that point in life where we can balance so many duties, so many responsibilities in life. And that's why we all are struggling, and we saw this beautiful drama in which it was enacted. So much disturbance, so much difficulties in focusing and balancing and giving the right time to the thing, isn't it? And more and more and more we are inundated by technology and by gadgets. I'm in the technology business. I mean, I very much involved for the last decade plus in technology business. And we know exactly what disruptive technology is coming up to really completely sap your consciousness. So that you do not get out of this gadget. Originally, phone was a phone. But, you know, how much can you be with a phone? So then they added a calculator. Then they added the alarm clock. And now you know what all things are happening on this phone. Right? So one piece of a screen is completely making majority people's lives unbalanced. Completely unbalanced. So let us go into this aspect a little more deeper as to why is it that this is happening. Because the fact is, this world is full of dualities. Where there is honor, there is bound to be dishonor. Where there is light, there is bound to be darkness. Where there is pleasure, there is bound to be pain. And every aspect you consider that you have, there's bound to be a situation of have not. If people are rich, then there's bound to be people who are poor. There's always the haves and the have nots. Because this world is designed as a world of duality. And this duality is constantly in motion. And what brings this duality into motion? It is something like this. The duality is a stationary subject, is stationary thing. And there's something that makes the duality get into action. And that thing that makes dualities into action is Kal, or the time factor. The time factor flows into the duality and makes everything dual. So right now, you are happy and you have food to eat, but the dual factor will come where maybe you might not have food to eat. Right now you are in light, you are in air-conditioned room. The time factor will bring you to a situation, because everything is circular, my friend, isn't it? Right? Like I came here, I came by a local train, and I was perspiring profusely. So that at that point in time, the time factor brought me to a situation which was very hot. The time factor moved on, and now he brought me to a place where it is very cool. You understand, my friends? So this duality mixing with the time factor brings us to a situation of constant changes in our life. One of the most amazing I was in the train, and you know the Mumbai Railways along with the transport that they give us for people who are seekers, for people who want to learn things and who are observers, you can learn amazing things from the train. Just sitting in the train, you can be quite self-realized, if not completely. So, I was thinking about this wonderful topic that I was asked by the organizers to speak on, striking the balance. And obviously, I was thinking, oh, balance, balance. And in front of me, there was a person. And the other person. And the other person. And then again. I wanted to record it, but it was not so respectful to record. But it was such a wonderful sight of this guy going into shallow sleep, and then into deep slumber, and then into a snoozing box. And then all sorts of wonderful substances coming out. And he was like, and because you don't know what's happening, he was going off balance. And the other person, hey. Yeah. So right in front of my eyes, I was seeing that how problematic it is to you and to the other people when you are not in balance. Is it not? And if you're sleeping, you know, it is embarrassing for you when people push you. Hey, kya karta hai? So sorry. I mean, I have seen people fight in the trains like cats and dogs, right? You see people. You know, I was analyzing, to take little diversion, you know, there are varieties of travelers in the trains, different types of travelers. One we described, they can sleep anywhere. In any position. I mean, literally, they are just so tired. Or maybe they are just so detached. That they can sleep anywhere. Literally, how many of you have seen a person sleeping while holding the... Now, when I go abroad and then, you know, I'm used to giving examples of trains, and when I give this example, people wonder, what are you talking? Because in London trains, in trains of Europe, they don't see all this. I said, your trains are not so much of, they don't give self-realization so much. But Mumbai trains are very revealing, so you must travel by trains. I said, yes, next time we come. I said, only fortunate people get to travel by Mumbai trains. I said, you need to do tremendous amount of pious activities to get access to Mumbai trains and get realization in them. It's not easy. So anyway, you know, there are people who are snooze boxes, you know, they sleep anywhere, literally. I mean, you know, so sometimes we have these fixed trains that we catch, 8-5 train from Borivali or 8-3. You know, people in Mumbai are very precise. You know, they talk about 8-3. Main 8, 2 ko aur 50 minute second mein aa jaunga station pe, tu jagah rakh meri. I mean, such precision in Mumbai. And nowhere besides finds this precision. Right? So we catch that train. Sometimes I catch this train, and if I find the same person, the moment he comes, he gets the same spot. And before the train leaves Borivali, he sleeps. I mean, it's not easy, isn't it? It's not. Do you think railway second class is comfortable to sleep? But these people are royal people. They are detached people. They will sleep. So there is one type of people who are, maybe you can call them snooze boxes. You know, they are asleep. The second type of people are called the highly combustible material. You have seen, you go on the roads, you see a truck going in the front. I still don't understand. If I don't know, one of you can make me understand. What does it mean? Horn, okay, please. Anybody has... since childhood I have seen this, horn, okay, please. But I still don't understand. Anybody knows what is the meaning of this? Horn, okay, please. If you know, please meet me. I want to know what it really means. But anyways, meet me next time in the after the class, yeah? You will add to my knowledge. But we see these trucks, you know, and they say highly combustible material. You know, they carry either oils or some gas. And so it is said highly combustible. That means in one chingari, and boom. Right? So it is stay away. You know, they show. So similarly, these people in the trains, they are highly combustible material. They are just put in a third touch. Hey, get away! I said, what happened, man? Relax. You know, it's just flare up. Boom. There is no graded growth. It's just zero and boom. Binary. There's only two levels. Shant and boom. So they are highly combustible people. You have seen that? We find that they are very angry. They are very, very ready to just blow up at anything that happens. The moment you touch their toe or your elbow touches them, they're highly combustible people. Other are sort of like knights. You know, knights, the kings, they are ready with a sword anytime. I love it. Huh? You have seen that? They are ready with a sword. They are pakad ke mar bara dikhwa. And you, it is amusing. It's just amusing, the trains, and so revealing that how Krishna has made such varieties of people, and they all coexist in this one compartment. Unity in diversity at the best. There is the combustible material, there is the snooze boxes, and you know, by all this fight is happening, the snooze boxes. He's not worried about what's happening. You know, let the world go to hell. Church gate, I'll come, I'll get down, and I'll. And there are the people who are, you know, scanners. You know, the moment you enter there, they look at you, open up. And the moment you look at them, they will look at like this. You seen these people? At the moment you type on the phone, they will. You seen that? You seen these people, isn't it? They scan you through and through. You know, they see what you are doing, they see what clothes you are wearing, they smell what scent you are applying. A moment, look at them, they start doing their work. So these people, you know, they are constantly bothered about what people are doing, scanners. So these are this type of people. And the others are chatterboxes. Snooze boxes and chatterboxes. I met one person just a few days back. You know, he came and said, sir, kaise ho? I said, theek hai. Kahan jaate ho? I said, Borivali utrunga. Main bhi Borivali rehta hai. I said, very good. Kya karte ho aap? And then I said, dhanda karta hu. Main bhi dhanda karta hu. Then he removes his business card. I said, ye mera dhanda hai. I said, acha, acha. Ye dusra card, agar ye gum gaya to dusra aapke liye. And then I said, okay. I was just busy chanting Hare Krishna. There's extra rounds, okay, not my actual rounds. I was chanting extra rounds, Hare Krishna. So then he said, dusra panch card, aapke dost ke liye, dene ke liye. So they are constantly talking, chatterboxes, love to talk. They love to talk, right? So anyway, coming to the point, snooze boxes. We talked about going off balance, right? So because you lose your balance, you know, then you are a disturbance to yourself, and you are a disturbance to people around you. And that's how important it is to find the balance in life. Because if you're not balanced, as you saw, you are a cause of disturbance to people around. So typically, you know, we see that if as young boys and girls, they are not here, but as young people, if we are not balanced, if we don't have that, inculcate the aspect of being balanced in our life right now, then you find it very, very difficult to really find the balance as you grow and take further and further more and more responsibilities in your life. Many of you will be married, hopefully. When I say hopefully, not that you will not marry, many of you become brahmacharis, that's what I meant. Many of you want to be renounced people, many of you get married, and irrespective of wherever you are, you have lots of responsibilities and you need to really juggle with these balls. There are two balls, three balls, five balls, six balls, then you begin to juggle and you can't have any balls falling down. That's the art of balancing. It's very important. So right now, when you inculcate the art of balancing in this situation, it will help you in your future life. Because in general, dealing with people is very, very difficult. There's constantly, you speak something, but the other person takes it in a complete wrong way, because as we say, the whole world is dual. Your feeling is that you're trying to help the person, but the other person takes it completely different. I was just reading this situation where a husband and a wife, in early morning, the husband woke up at the wife and said, "Honey," or we can say, "Prerna," whatever, "would you like to join me for yoga?" So husband, in a very nice way, he said, she said, "Oh, so you mean I'm fat?" The wife replied, "So you mean I'm fat?" No, yoga is good for health," the husband said. "Oh, so you think I'm sick?" So the husband was saying, "What's wrong with this lady?" I said, no, if you don't want to get up, then it's okay." "Oh, so you think I'm lazy?" Now all of you will not understand, it's theoretical, but I've seen this. I don't go through it, by the way. But by the supreme mercy of Radha Gopinath, I have a wonderful wife. Who gets up much before me. I don't have to wake her up. But I have seen, because I do counseling, as somebody said, that I do a lot of marriage counseling, and I find so many such situations where the husband has a particular... So husband here is just wanting to wake up the wife, and the wife is saying, "Oh, so you think I'm lazy?" No, you don't miss... Please don't misunderstand me. I didn't mean that. "Oh, so you think I don't understand you?" So no... Now look, I didn't say that. "Oh, so you mean I'm lying?" Are you all with me? And then he said, "Are yaar, please don't stretch it this morning." "Oh, wow, so I'm a callsome lady, huh? And you think I'm stretching my discussion?" The husband says, No. "Alright, it's better as that. I also don't go for yoga." See, you never wanted to go, just wanted to blame me. Said, "Okay, Baba, if you go off to sleep, I'll go alone. Happy?" "You always wanted to go alone and enjoy." Are you with me? Are you with this husband, poor fellow? "Hey, please, yaar, I'm feeling giddy now. See, you're so selfish, always think of yourself, never think of my health." So, this is a husband-wife situation. But you see this constant going off balance happening here, where the whole discussion is just so off balance and so very disruptive, yes or no? Right? So if we do not have a proper understanding of what is required in our life, how to really find the right balance, and what is this duality all about, then we'll be completely a bunch of frustrated people. The people who commit who commit suicides, and it is ever increasing. There are people who are committing, who have divorces, which are ever increasing. And what is divorces? What is a suicide? It is nothing if you go to the root of the problem. You'll find that the root of the problem is that you are not living a balanced life. And we'll explain this further. So it is important that this situation where the time factor is affecting the dualities. If we try to change the environment, can you change the environment? Can you change the environment here? Yes or no? You can't change the environment. If something is hot, it is hot. And you can't change the environment to be hot. But can you change your mindset? Can you change your own consciousness? Right? So when collectively we change our consciousness, that's what gives rise to culture. Collective change of consciousness gives rise to culture, and that is the whole idea of organizing these wonderful festivals by the organizers. That collectively we all come together and try to understand a particular subject matter and try to understand and change our perspective of life. And when collectively we all do this, when we all do it together, it will bring about a change of culture in the society. And that's what is required. To change the culture of the society. Because whether you know it or not, whether you are part of it or not, we all will agree to the fact that the society is going into doldrums. It is in a very, very precarious situation, to say the least. So till the time we don't find the balance, then it is very, very difficult. So how do we really find the balance? What is exactly the balance? There was a story. There was a person who wanted to really get some advice from a wise man. So his father sent him and said, you go and you find this wise man that you're talking about. He didn't know exactly which person, but he said, you find a wise man and find the instruction that he gives. So he went to the temples, to the monasteries, to the churches, to the synagogues, and he said, let me find a wise man. And in his perspective, in his observation, he didn't find a single wise man. He said, nobody could really appeal to him. Then somebody got him that you go to this particular big mansion that is there. And you'll find the person of the owner of that mansion, a large property. He is a very wise man. He really guides people. I said, oh, sure. So he walked a very long distance. And he went to this particular place that he was told, and he met this person. He was very busy. There were so many people coming to meet him, to take guidance, to take some help from him. So then finally he got a chance to meet him and said, my dear sir, please, I want to find what is the real thing that will help me in life? How can I be helped in life? So this person said, don't worry, I'll give the answer to you. But first, go around and see this large mansion that I have. Observe the beauties of this mansion. Observe the intricate things that I have in this mansion. But while you're observing, I'm giving you this particular small container with oil. And not a single drop of oil should fall. That is your assignment. While you go around. Yeah? So this person was moving very carefully. And he came back. We went around the mansion. He came back. And so the person said, oh, you came back. How do you like my mansion? Did you see the ornate curtains that are there in the mansion? He said, no. Did you see the beautiful furniture that is there in my dining room? I said, no. Did you see the beautiful flowers that I have spent so many years to develop, all the beautiful roses and all the fragrant flowers and all the beautiful flowers in my garden. Did you see them? I said, no. I said, why? I said, I was just so busy, you know, making sure that not a single drop of oil falls from this container. So I was focusing on it. I said, now you go and observe the beauty of my mansion and come back. So he went again. This time the task was to see the beauty of the mansion. He went around. He observed, oh, this is a beautiful garden, beautiful furniture, beautiful dining room. He went all around and he was appreciating the beautiful ornate carvings and beautiful furniture that is there. With so much of intelligence gone into developing this, he came back. Then he said to the wise man, I said, beautiful, your mansion is exquisitely wonderful, stupendous. And then looked at the wise man, said, where is the oil? I said, oh well, I was not so conscious of this oil. Because I was just observing, so this oil fell down. Only a few drops are remaining. So that's where he said, as a life is about enjoying with responsibility. This is the lesson for you. This is the lesson that I want to impart to you. You enjoy, but with the responsibility. That means while you have the responsibility of protecting this oil, you can enjoy, and that's what this balancing the life is all about. And that's where you need to learn the art of managing both the things. Then that's exactly where we all miserably fail. Because it is very easy, my dear friends, it's very easy to be black or white. It's very easy. Does it take time? If somebody says, just paint this wall white, you take a... You paint it white. Paint the wall black, you paint it black. But if somebody tells you that you paint this wall 23% white and mix it with the remaining percentage black, that means grey. It is not easy. You have to constantly balance the color and have the right thing so that it is all uniform. Yes or no? Right? So that's exactly what life is all about. To balance life. To really balance so many responsibilities. How many responsibilities do we have? As students, we're responsible to study. We're responsible towards our parents. Yes or no? Yes, no, not so much. Somewhat. Studies. We have to make friends. We have to earn money. We have to impress girls. We have to impress boys. We have to be. I went to the college. And I was the original Prerana crowd of this temple. I was one of the only few young boys. I came back and came in 1988. I became a devotee. I was 16 years old. So, you know, I saw this, I've shared this in another forum, but I would like to share with all of you. You know, I became a devotee, and I was just seeing that these devotees have a very amazing way of talking. Did you all realize? The devotees talk very uniquely. Yes or no? Some words which outsiders, I mean people who are not yet introduced to devotional way of living, they will not use this word ever in their life. But devotees use it profusely. So I learned the first time. This was just 2-3 months after I became a devotee. I saw two devotees. You know, this is also an act of balancing. So I found it interesting to speak to all of you. So one devotee, I was just hearing one devotee was talking to another devotee. And because I was a new devotee, I was wanting to hear everything and learn. I was wanting to learn from everything that I saw in this temple. So one devotee said, Prabhuji, I'm very fallen. So I said, very fallen. Now I had not heard this Chaitanya Charitamrita yet. You know, where the language is of fallen. So he said, Prabhuji, I am very fallen. So that person said, no Prabhuji, you are not fallen. I am more fallen than you. So then I asked somebody next to me, I said, what does this mean? I am very fallen. Matlab kya hota hai? Kidhar, he fell from somewhere or... I mean, I am very fallen means what? So he said, fallen means that he feels that he is very, very sinful. Like, oh, makes sense. I said, yeah, that makes sense. So then I wanted to continue further hearing what these two people are saying. I said, Prabhuji, I am so fallen that I am like the worm in your stool. I said, what? I said, I never heard. Did any one of you hear this? That I am so fallen that I am like the worm in your stool. Now how many of you have seen? I mean, you know, the way whole technology, I went to Hong Kong, you know, and somebody's house. quite a wealthy person's house, you know. So I had the call of nature. So I said, my dear sir, can I use your washroom? I said, yeah, please use my personal bathroom because I want you to use. So he took me to his personal bathroom inside. And, you know, I went inside and I was sitting doing my job. So while you're doing your job, you're thinking, and while thinking, you look down and you see what's falling, right? But I couldn't see anything in there. I said, well, I did something, right? What happened? So when I got up, there was nothing there. Usually you flush it off, right? You see it and you flush it off. But I said, it was not there. So I figured out that there were all sensors fitted in the commode. So moment something falls, the water. nobody wants to, because the whole idea is nobody wants to see something which is so integrally connected to your body. When it comes out of your body, nobody wants to see that. Yes or no? Right? So we'll talk of seeing worms in that thing. So this person said, Prabhu, I'm like the worm in that stool, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as a natural act of humility, it is a very, very high understanding, my dear friends. I know, but devotees, they use it so very casually. He said that I am the worm in the stool. So the other person had to balance it, right? He said he's the worm in my stool. So the other devotee I was hearing, and he said, how do I balance it? He had to refute, because he had to reply to this very, very powerful statement. He said, Prabhu, I am like the worm in the stool of that worm. I said, worm! And to this day, it has been 27 years, I'm still trying to figure out. How can there be a worm in the stool of a worm? Homework for you. So anyways, coming back to the point. Dualities. So this is what, you know, when we are talking about situations in life, there's always dualities, and of course we discuss about the way devotees talk. That's on the lighter side. But coming to the real point now, is that there is a need to really find the balance in life, and that's why Krishna has shown in this beautiful drama, Krishna has the solution in the Gita. And they left it to the speaker to tell you what is there in the Gita. But Gita is such an amazing science, such a complete book. Solution to all your inquiries. And in the matter of few days, we are going to celebrate the Gita Jayanti. And right now, many of you must be aware, we are having the December book marathon. Because based on this holy month of Magha Shirsha, where Krishna spoke the Gita to Arjun, we are trying to distribute and disseminate this knowledge of Gita to more and more people to take advantage of this beautiful book. And Krishna, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta chetasya karmashu, yukta swapna bhavo bhashya, yoga bhavati dukhoha. Very beautiful words. Krishna says that for him who is moderate in eating and recreation, temperate in his actions, who is regulated in sleep and wakefulness, yoga becomes the destroyer of all pain. So what Krishna is telling Arjun, the importance of yukta ahara viharasya. Yukta, very interesting word. What? Sanskrit is such a complete language. You know, when you say yukta, many times when we talk to people, we say do's and don'ts, right? Aim karo, ye karo, ye karo, ye karo, ye karo. Don't do this, right? But the do's and don'ts is very, very black and white. And many times I said, don't sleep more than 7 hours. If I say that statement, the many of you whose natural requirement of sleep is 9 hours, I'm like, kya bol raha hai ye? Huh? So I said, don't eat more than 5 chapatis. Suppose I, as part of my communication, don't eat more than 5 chapatis. Arey yaar, 5 chapatis se main begin karta hu main. It begins with 5 chapatis and then I go on. So what I'm trying to say is then when we talk about numbers, when we talk about do's and don'ts, it is very, very restricted. But Krishna didn't use the word don't sleep too much. He used the word yukta. Yukta means very interesting. What does yukta mean? I was just studying the Sanskrit language. Yukta means, it means the right quantity, the right quality, and the right mindfulness. Brilliant. This word is so brilliant. Yukta. Yuktahar. So when he says yukta, means what is your right quantity, what is your right quality, and with the right mindfulness. That is yukta. Brilliant, isn't it? So Krishna is not telling you to sleep 7 hours or 8 hours. Yukta. You decide. Yuktahar. For some people, you know, this is another thing. When I came to ISKCON, you know, I saw so many amazing situations. You know, I saw a very skinny devotee, very skinny, practically bones. I said, I was feeling, bichara, usko fook marega to ud jayega. He said, even if you breathe little heavily on him, you'll fly. He's so skinny. So then, you know, we were taking prasad. I was talking to him. And then I saw his plate. I said, oh my God. It was a... And you know, I said, kaha jata hai sab? Where is the space? Huh? But realistically, it is yukta for him. It is his the right quantity for him. And he's managing it very well. Yeah? So yukta ahara viharasya, temperate or adequate sleep, food, and recreation, Krishna says. Very important words for balance. So what is the first thing he said? The right quality. So we must all understand that while the Gita says, you are not this body, dehi nosmin yatha dehe, kaumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastratrana muhyati, that you are constantly changing this body to another body. And this is all very important, but the fact is, while we are in this body, we have the needs of this body and we need to balance it out. You know, what is the sutra for balancing? The one line. And we all talk over this management language, urgent and important. Yes, many we talk about these 4 quadrants. What are the 4 quadrants? First quadrant is what? Urgent and important. That's the next quadrant. Come on, guys, you padha nahi management aap logon. Quick, come on, anybody. First quadrant. Important and urgent. Second quadrant. Important but not urgent. Third quadrant. Not important, not urgent. And fourth, not important. So what are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to do our work? Second quadrant. Right? We are supposed to be in the second quadrant. But the fact is, how many of us we do? Most of the things, if you see in our list, we all end up doing things which are urgent. And the important things gets pushed away. We know it is important. How many of you know that health is important? Yes, health is important. Health is wealth. And wealth is everything. So health is important, but health if you do your activities which are important when they're important, then it is balanced activity. But moment you do the activity when the important becomes urgent, then you are off balance. I'll give you an example. Walking every day for health is required. If you think that, well, I am not this body, so I will just chant Hare Krishna and be happy and put on weight. I mean, literally, it is a 100% observation. Nobody becomes thin after becoming a devotee. And this is a proof that you see old videos of our temple, and you see I was less than half my size, but you know, prasadam ki. Yeah. So he said, you can eat your way back to Godhead, and Prabhupada spoke such nice statements. Aro, maja karo. So you can eat, but when you realize that yes, it is important to take care of your health, you need to walk. And when the health is important, you take care of the health, that is the balanced life. But moment the health is not taken care of and it goes into the first quadrant of urgent, because then there's some serious difficulties with your health. Your health is failing. You have back problems, you have headaches, you know, you're not eating well, and your whole is a bad shape. And then you spend hours for your health. It's off balance. Similarly, spending time with your family, it is very important, but never urgent at some point in time. Theek hai yaar, baad mein. So many urgent things. Because urgent things are things which give you some immediate results, and you can enjoy the results, and you can feel, yeah, this is important, yes or no? You do something, you focus on a job, you get promotion, it worked well, man, this is important, I must give time to my job. But what is there at home? When I go home, no. But relationship, it's important. We all know importance of relationship, yes or no? But we never, many of us, never give time to the relationships. And then, the relationships becomes to the urgent quadrant. Your family members, if many of you, I'm talking about husbands, and they say the wife is saying, give me time. You're not being given any time. And then there's a serious emotional bereftment of relationships. And the relationship is on the verge of breaking. And then, let me just give up everything and just focus on the relationship. It doesn't work that way. Very, very difficult. So we all have to understand that doing the right thing at the right time is right. Doing the right thing at the wrong time is not right. You could be doing the right thing, jogging, but the wrong time. When your health is finished already, what's the use? Balancing. And how does you balance? And I was just studying, how does a tight rope walk person walk? I was reading some book on that. I wanted to understand, how does he really walk? I mean, it is so difficult, isn't it? So difficult to really walk over that thin rope with all the balance, and they walk for kilometers. How do they do that? Just two things. Focus on the goal. How many of you, my dear friends, I'm not going to embarrass you by raising your hands, but how many of you really have a goal in life? I don't want to raise your hands. How many of you really have a goal to the extent that you are ready to do anything to achieve that goal? As one of the presidents of America said, if you do not have something worth dying for, then there's nothing worth living for. How many of us have that goal that, yes, I want to achieve something. I want to really have that goal. Because if you do not have the goal, there's nothing to focus. You'll be completely off-centered. There's nothing to focus on life. The first thing is the goal. The type of person is simply looking at the goal. That is where I need to go. And it said specifically, do not look down on what your feet are doing. Because the moment you look down, you will be completely off balance and you will fall down. That means, do not focus on that small actions. Keep the actions going on, but focus on the goal. Yes, you must do action. You know, there is something what is called paralysis through analysis. You heard of this? This story I heard from Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, one of our senior spiritual masters in ISKCON. He was telling this story to us, and he said there was a particular centipede, or whatever we call it, we have maybe 200 feet that they crawl, a centipede or something like that. Yeah. So he was crawling, and they dance very well. So somebody asked that particular living entity that, and how do you dance? Do you put your 67th leg in the front and then the 45th and then the 102nd and then the 104th? How do you do it? I said, I never thought of it, but next time I will think over it. So next time when he was dancing, he was very conscious of which feet he is putting in front, and then the dance was all hopeless. It was not worth anything because he was paralyzed through analysis. And that's why many times we do a lot of analysis in our life. So much analysis. Our mind, as somebody said, right? What is the problem with balance is not there because of the mind. And where does the analysis happen? It's all in the mind. Ye karu ki wo karu. Ye karu to usko ye khush ho jayega. Pan ye karu to wo khush ho jayega. Pan ye karu to wo khush ho jayegi. It's all in the mind. Paralysis through analysis. So we are not very clear. Why? Because we are focusing on the actions more than the goal. But you focus on the goal. That's the first thing. And don't look down. And the second thing is constantly balance with your hand. You see this, they have this balance, the hand outstretched. They walk. And the moment they are falling on this side, they balance this side. The moment there is some off balance, they go the other side. Constantly walking like this. So that is the secret of life. First of all, to have the goal. And to have the goal which does not change. Which is achuta, infallible. Because if you have a goal which changes, I mean, many people, they say, अरे मेरे को बॉम्बे आके मेरे को एक बॉलीवुड स्टार बनना है, एक एक खान के जैसा. I mean, you know, these people are, and as Prabhupada said, all that remains in due course is list of names. You know, during my time, when I used to be a cricket fan, we used to have this gentleman. I forget his name also now. But the guy who won the Audi car, Ravi Shastri, is it not? Where is this chap now? Where is this person now? Or is a commentator? That's the best you can do. This must be a good, but he was a very good player, and he was a champion of champions, if I remember. But slowly, if you try to inculcate, these are wonderful people, but you need to have a person whom you can imbibe, somebody who is really infallible. And the best goal to have, the only person who is infallible, is Krishna. The Krishna will never fail you. Lord Krishna will never fail you. The knowledge of Krishna, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will never fail you. So if we have a focus, a goal, to understand who I am, balancing the life. What is life all about, my dear friends? If you don't know what is life, how will you balance it? What is the life meant for? Bachpan bita, khel kud mein, bhari jawani soya. Aaya budhapa, ab kyun soche, kya paya, kya khoya? Anup Jalota, during my time, he was my hero. Bachpan bita, khel kud mein, bhari jawani soya. Very nicely explained the whole life. Is this the purpose of life? Bachpan bita khelkud karta hi nahi kuch aajkal hum log. Just there's one thing, and just, can show some photograph. Had given something. Just that was one photograph. So you know, our whole thing is all become screens. You can open it. Sorry to off guard. So whole, there's no playing. Everything is screen. I saw this interesting photo which I came across. So while we are, while we're talking about our life, our youth, our adulthood, as we are passing through, if there's a particular goal, a fixed goal in life, then our life becomes focused on that goal and nothing else. And that goal is, the purpose of life is to achieve Krishna consciousness, right? We have been attending so many lectures of Prerna and everything else, and I'm sure you are aware, the purpose of life is to achieve Krishna consciousness. What is that? Krishna bulia jiva bhogavan chakare nikatiya mayastane jhapatiya dhare. Very interesting Bengali words. The Krishna bulia jiva. When a person forgets Krishna and he desires sense gratification through the senses, some enjoyment, which is temporary. Nikatiya mayastane jhapatiya dhare. Just many years back, I saw this very interesting, and I went to somebody's house, and I saw this very interesting, you know, there was a television show going on. I said, my dear friend, you know, can you just change all these serials are very, very disturbing to my mind. You know, if you need to keep the TV on, please, can you change to the National Geography channel, because animals don't disturb so much as human beings. So it's better to see some animals doing some wonderful things than to see humans doing some crazy things. So I said, so he changed. So I was sitting and waiting for the person to come. And I was seeing, I found something very interesting, because the Krishna is always revealing some wonderful things to you if you are ready to receive it. And I saw, it's okay, I'll tell you where to on. Yeah? So I saw in this that there was a frog. It's not here. Is here. There was a frog, and the frog was waiting and observing a fly. The fly was hovering, and the frog was, you know, if you studied biology, you know that a frog has very strong hind legs. 8th standard biology, my dear friends, just to refresh your memory. And then he has a tongue, which has, what is the specialty of the tongue of a frog? Very sticky in the front, because it can capture the prey very easily. So the frog was gearing up, waiting to really pounce on the fly. And the fly was happily just roaming around. And then the camera shifted. And then from behind was coming a snake, slithering through the forest, dry leaves. Very big, powerful snake. So here was the situation. The fly was there, the frog was there, and the snake was there. The snake was coming. So the frog was ready to eat the fly, and the snake was ready to eat the frog. At the most unexpected moment, the snake captured the frog. And this was slowly but surely gulping in. Through the contraction and the expansion of his body, was gulping in. 1/4 body inside, 3/4 outside. Going inside. And once you're in the mouth of a snake, as we said, the time factor is like the mouth of a snake. Once you're, it's like death is like mouth of a snake. When you're captured, you're finished. You cannot escape. So the frog was slowly getting devoured. And then a most interesting, revealing, deeply revealing thing happened. I saw this practically in the 80s, and I still remember. 88 to be precise. And then and that the frog was just getting gulped. He was right almost inside the mouth of the snake. And then the fly was flying around, and the frog removed his tongue to eat the fly while he was getting consumed by the snake. And I realized that the desire for sense gratification, Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavancha kare nikateya mayasthane jhapatiya dhare, that even if maya captures you and you are exposed to all your shortcomings in life, and the biggest shortcoming in life is death, but still you will not give up the desire for sense gratification. That is the fact of life. So the purpose of our life, if you want to really understand how to find a balance in life, you must understand the purpose of life. And what is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to understand there's something more than just these four activities that we do: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And the goal is to come beyond the animalistic tendencies of life and come to the humanistic, or beyond humanistic, to the divine understanding of life. Till the time you are not convinced that there's a purpose why I am here, till that time your life will always be off balance. Always off balance, because you don't know what is life. How can you strike the balance in life without knowing what is life? It is ridiculous, isn't it? You're trying to find a balance in life without knowing what is life. That is why the first thing we must know is what is life. And life is that we must understand that I'm always subservient to God and the rules of God, and how I can reconnect with God, either Krishna or whatever God that you are worshipping. Otherwise, our life will be... You are ready? So I wanted to show you that how we get so disturbed. This is very interesting. You are showing that video, right? Yeah. So I'm showing you a video. It's longer. Please focus on the thing that I tell you to focus on, not on anything else. Because there's something which will distract you, which I don't want you to get distracted. So please, on this video. It's interesting, very interesting video. Yeah, focus on the feather only, okay? Nobody else. Only the feather, nothing else. Mm-hmm. So this is balancing. This is what is balancing. I mean, it was most astounding, amazing. And what do you think you learned from this? Yes? First of all, did you like it? So it is so wonderful, the power of focusing. And what you observed is this lady, whoever she has achieved this wonderful art of just focusing, and it's so difficult. You know, balancing one thing is difficult. What did she do? It's amazing. But what we learn is that if we do all our activities with that sort of focus and that sort of attention and that sort of dedication and not getting disturbed by what the people say, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Shri Gopal ji ki. Hare Krishna. So if we have that sort of dedication to doing if we have that sort of focus on worshipping and seeing the beautiful forms of Radha Gopinath, can you imagine if we chant with that focus, each word, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. At the same time, we must balance that it is not that just because many of us are devotees or aspiring devotees or trying to become devotees or maybe first time coming to temple and wanting to be devotees. We have other responsibilities. We have duties to our parents, we have duties to our country, we have duties to our society, and we cannot give it up. If we think that we can stay in an isolated way, then we are highly mistaken. We have to balance all our responsibilities. It's required. We cannot say that just because I'm a devotee, I can give up my duties to my parents. It's a sinful, to say the least. You have duties to your parents. You have to balance it out. Not going too much here, not going too much there. Yukta. Your duties to spiritual life. But you become too spiritual and you become so-called detached, as I call it, premature paramhansa. I call it the PP syndrome. The many times we say, Prabhu is sab detached, sab kuch abhi, this is all maya. So I went through it literally when I was studying when I became a devotee for first 2 years. I said, this is maya. It's a phaldu hai. So I was just loitering in the temple, you know, just doing odd jobs and just, this is bhakti. But no, I realized, I mean, you'll be surprised, when I was a student, you know, Radhanath Swami was my guide. At one point said, if I see you in the temple, I'll kick you out. I mean, literally. He said, your duty as a student is to study. And if you do not study, I will kick you out. And literally made sure that I came only once in a week. Because I was used to be coming, I would bunk my colleges, bunk my hostel and stay in the temple. But he taught me the lesson of balancing. There's a duty as a devotee, there's a duty as a disciple, there's duty as a son, there's a duty as a citizen of India, there's a duty to everybody that you, there's a duty as a husband when you get married, there's duty as a wife, and if any one of the duties you do not do it properly, my dear friend, be sure you will get serious reactions to that. Don't think that you chant Hare Krishna, all your duties are done. Instead, you water the root of a tree, Krishna, and Krishna is happy, everything is fine. But you cannot, while you are in this world, you have to perform your duty and find a balance. But many a times I see devotees, when they are students, they are nice students, nice devotees, but the moment they come into the work environment, they just lose the whole balance. The bead bag is gone and the tie comes up. Which is fine. No, I'm wearing a tie. But don't give up your bead bag. Don't give up a responsibility. That's why I said doing the secret to success, the secret to this whole talk is doing the right thing at the right time. What's the right time to chant? Morning time, Hare Krishna. My best time to chant. So you chant your rounds in the morning. The right time to go for a job, unless you are in some call center, is the daytime when you are working and you work, you focus. Rupa Goswami said a devotee should be very, very perfect in his in everything that he does. Every small thing he does, he should be doing it perfectly. That's a sign of a evolved devotee. That means everything, all his responsibilities, everything that he does is done perfectly. But balancing it out. And you know what is the most important thing? If you stay with people who are centered, who are balanced, you will automatically find your balance. I was many years back, there was a lecture given by Bhurijan Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple. I said, when you are with Prabhupada, he was telling, you cannot not be centered. You are completely centered because this man, Prabhupada, was so centered. Can you imagine this man, how balanced and how focused he was? This lady did this art and it is wonderful. But our Srila Prabhupada, 1922, he gets the instruction, you go to the West to preach the message of the Gita. Made it the focus of his life. That was a feather in his life, this instruction that it came. And he always focused on it. He never gave it up. But while he did that, he became one of the best businessmen. He was a very successful businessman at one point in time. Very successful. And then he went, he had a wonderful family. He took care of all his family duties. This was a Nitya Siddha Paramahansa, devotee of the Lord Prabhupada. But you know, his family, and he had the same disruptions. He had his one of his sisters who came back from his house and she was staying with Prabhupada and Abhay Charan, and he had to take care of his sister. Prabhupada didn't say, well, this is all Maya, I don't take care. He did his duties perfectly. And at the right time came, he did the duty as a disciple. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was telling him, now you take sannyas. He took sannyas, went to Vrindavan, became a scholar. He was a scholar already, but deep writings of Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote it, never lost focus on the instruction he received in 1922 and achieved it in 1965. That is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, the key. Yes. So we have such glorious, fantastic examples of people who have balanced their lives. And my dear friends, if you really take this seriously and you learn the art of balancing, you will be so damn productive and so damn attractive to the world. That this is the man I want to imbibe. We want each one of us should try to find that important center, doing the right thing at the right time, doing all of our responsibilities and never becoming lopsided. For that you need to take guidance. You must take guidance from people that you are guiding you, but try to find that balance and see the productivity. And the second important thing for balance is intelligence. But what I don't know is not just buddhi or intelligence, but vivek buddhi or discriminatory intelligence. How to discriminate this is right and it is wrong? How do we know what I need to do at this point of time? Right? Many times we have so many things to do. Kya karne ka? Ye karu ki ye karu? Right? Isn't it? Many of you face this problem. That there's a match and there's studies. What do I do? Right? But if you have discriminatory intelligence, then you know that match is a match. But studies will, I have to study right now. You have to focus on the studies. At that point in time, you will be able to decide and you will be able to stick to that. And how does Viveka Buddhi come? By nice sadhana. Sharpness of intelligence comes by sadhana. And not associating with things that degrade your consciousness. Do not associate with things that is going to degrade and corrupt your consciousness. It's all the horrible things is so easily available now. is Maya is just all there. At the click of a button you can access the things that you don't need to access. That's why you need intelligence, you need discrimination, and you need to have the courage to say no. And that's balance. These friends, the drama we saw, they were struggling. Why? Because they couldn't say no. They were studying, and that item, what is the item? I never heard of this item. Now that item called, and then you go off balance. And many times, I remember many, when I was young, I was studying and, ye choka, we are out! And then you run to the TV and, oh. Why? Because your mind is trying to study, but your ears are hearing the commentary. You're not able to focus. You're not able to find the balance. You're completely off balance. Right? So please, let us understand that every duty a devotee does is sacred. Nothing is less important. It's very important to do all your duties in life. Duty, as I again repeat, duty as a son. The parents have given so much of your love and their care. You must do a duty as a son. Take care of them. You know, give them respect. Duty as a disciple. But all these duties will be done wonderfully when we have a goal. And what is our goal? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koryo Akya Arna Koryo Mane Asha. Then my goal is to take the instructions of my spiritual master, of my authorities, as my life and soul, and I have no desire. I want to simply focus on that. Once you have that focus in life, my dear friends, I can guarantee you, it's an open secret. You will be successful in life. You'll be able to do the best of business, you'll be able to do the best of jobs, you'll be able to do the best of brahmachari if you want to be a brahmachari. You can do best of everything that you do because you have found the balance, because your focus is clear that Ekale Ishwara Krishna Ara Sakala Bhritya, that Krishna is the only truth and everything else is false. And that is the whole purpose of these pre-festivals, to convince people, to make them aware the need of focusing on Krishna, and Krishna is the only truth and nothing else. This subject is so broad, I mean, I really couldn't, it's like a whole seminar we could do. As I was going deeper into it, it's like a whole youth seminar for days you can perform this. It's so important. But please, just to try to just commit to in whatever time that we had, please find your goal, number one. The goal should be something that is infallible, not changing. Work towards that goal, and while you're working towards that goal, continue doing all your responsibility that you have in life. At the right time, doing the right things, health, wealth, family, sadhana, everything is important. And see the wonderful magic in your life. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sri Dhamma Prabhu, for teaching us this most rare but much needed art of balancing. Thank you very much. We'll express our gratitude to Prabhuji by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol!